support the rights of people to serve free food to homeless people with Food Not Bombs. When I went to jail in San Francisco 2 years ago, we went to him on that issue, and he was actually the mayor in Santa Cruz. He refused to do that. In Berkeley, on Tuesday night, not only is there the issue of the sit on the sidewalk, go to jail law coming up again, but there's a resolution by Councilmember Worthington, I could be wrong about that, but it is by one of the council members supporting Free Radio Berkeley that's on their agenda. Hmm. So it's not, I think Mr. Rotkin is wrong.
Yeah.
And I think he is also simply demonstrating either some sort of, maybe he just doesn't like what we're broadcasting on our station, maybe he lacks the political courage to support free speech when the going gets tough. Who knows?
What well, maybe he doesn't just like you.
Maybe it's a personal thing. Maybe he just wants me off the air, man.
Well,
could be,
It's going to be tough to get us off the air because I think people should really look at some of our programming that we have, like, say, National Radio Project, which has a weekly show about different politics going around town, even talking about ACLU and how they're supporting tobacco companies, as well as Counterspin by the Media Watch Group Fair, Alternative Radio by David Barsamian Company. Utah Phillips has a show on Sunday afternoons, and of course our live programming that we have as well. And we have programming that you can't hear or get anywhere else. I understand they're starting a 24-hour news station called the Coast Public Radio. I think it's going to be at 91 point something or other. And they're going to have NPR, which I think we have enough NPR stations already. And I called and tried to talk to the guy about maybe them playing Counterspin or making contact. And, of course, no, they're not going to play it. They're going to play the very safe, liberal-type stuff. That
not only safe and liberal, but not really organically connected to or springing from the local community. That's one really
exactly.
powerful point, I think, for free radio, is that we have people from the community who can come on the air. We don't care what your political orientation is. You know, I've had Nazis on my show. I don't think you like that one. We had our homeless Nazi on the show at one point, talking about how it is to be homeless and of an extreme right-wing disposition. We have, you know, people of all different kinds. And again, we focus, I think, on areas that are not covered by the mainstream media.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we're needed here. You know, even though a loop machine bust down every now and then, you get dead air. I mean, we have the nicest dead air than anybody else ever had.
You know, often the most needed services are the most underfunded. Like, I think Santa Cruz has, according to the City on a Hill Press, the biggest needle exchange program or the most extensive one in the country. But, of course, it's also really badly underfunded thanks to Clinton administration's failure to support needle exchange, even though it's been proven to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so the program, and it's illegal, you know, there's another thing that I think Mike Rotkin might consider hiding away from is the needle exchange. Maybe he can say he won't support that either.
I thought they did make a resolution to support it.
But they did, and they do. And they should, and I'm glad they do.
And that's just an illegal activity as well.
Definitely. It's declared illegal by state government officials. It's been declared illegal, I think, by federal officials.
Mm-hmm.
It is technically and explicitly against the law, mainly because we have a bunch of criminals running the government, but that's another matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to call in and let you know about our special Michael Rotkin.
Well, let's hope Big Mike changes his mind, though, frankly, I'm not holding my breath on that one.
Well, we're going to talk to other city council members and see where that brings us.
That's excellent.
Mary Beth Campbell will want to support us.
Mary Beth, of course, and if not, maybe Joe Gio from old times. You know, I encourage you, Bob, if you're interested, to come on up with us on, I don't know if you're going to have time on Tuesday, maybe to ask other folks, and I'll let you out there in the audience know that we are taking a caravan is rather of a stretch because we only have one vehicle. Maybe we can get more people to join us from the town clock 4:30 on Tuesday, because not only are we considering the issue of the sitting ban in Berkeley and also free radio support in Berkeley, but there's also the issue for all of you racy types and free speech types, free expression types, of the nude explicit players. Berkeley is trying to make it harder for people to be able to take it off. They're going to make it so that it's easier for police to ticket those who go without clothes. And all these issues are on the Berkeley City Council agenda at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night.
Well, I can't make it there because I'm going to be having a little meeting with Lieutenant Sepulveda, or Sergeant Sepulveda.
Oh, what's happening with that?
Oh, he's going to review ask me questions about my two complaints that I filed against the Santa Cruz police. when they invaded my rights and unlawfully arrested me, unlawfully detained me when I was trying to be a journalist for Free Radio Santa Cruz.
That's so. When you were covering the drug war on the people stuff happening in San Lorenzo Park?
San Lorenzo Park in December. Mm-hmm. And I was arrested and my equipment was taken away from me for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. I had to hire a lawyer out of my own money to get my stuff back. Otherwise, they would have never given it back. You know, you can't do anything without a lawyer. And so finally, I got my stuff back and I filed a complaint against Detective Haley of the CNET Patrol, who pretty much orchestrated this whole thing against me. And also, I've had other conflicts with him when I've been trying to cover stories related to the drug war. And so we'll see what happens. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Lieutenant Sepulveda has an unbiased ear, him being one of the most wonderful police officers in Santa Cruz.
The lieutenant will certainly give you a fair and impartial hearing.
Oh, yes.
Before he throws the complaint into the waste can, I'm sure that.
Well, it's also gone before the police review board.
And the police review board, that, yeah, well, that, then you're saved. I mean, there's no problem.
Well, although I was charged with resisting arrest and using the scanner and all these kinds of things, it wasn't even filed with the DA, so it's all in my, you know, it's in my favor. They violated my rights, like they're doing everybody, just like the FCC is trying to do, from keep people from using their free speech.
Well, I think it's because you're fighting back and not taking it lying down, as, for example, you did in the case when you were accused of criminal singing outside Bookshop Santa Cruz about 4 years ago, around the time the same anti-sitting ordinances were hitting Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I guess, maybe a year later when Stuart Martin of the ID building accused you of making terrorist threats.
Oh, yeah.
Guy singing about shoplifting in the Bookshop Santa Cruz?
Yeah, use my free speech. But actually, I have another one of those cases coming. It hadn't been filed since December when I got it for playing on the mall, but now it's finally been corrected and filed by Officer Richards, 199 Santa Cruz Police. And so I have to go to court for that one. And then,
what is that case about, Bob?
Unreasonable noise. $209 ticket.
And what kind of so-called unreasonable noise were you making?
I was playing political songs downtown Santa Cruz.
And who is the complainant?
The Logos was a complaint.
And what was the nature? Did they come out and ask you to move according to the street performer's guidelines after an hour of playing? Or
no.
They simply called the police?
Yeah, they came out, looked at me, and then they went and got the police. And I was ticketed. I wasn't even warned or anything, so, you know, it's just... And I don't even know if they'll remember it, so it'll come to court, and hopefully they won't show up, and I'll get off, but we'll see what'll happen.
Well, you know, we have another case of complaints not quite being filed, but nearly filed by your old friend Alibaba, who took out after a street preacher on Friday night, and the evening before Independence Day. We actually have a sort of an interview and some on-the-spot footage, or audioage, which we're going to play later in the show.
Well, hey, I have to go.
I'll let you go.
And I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Have a good show.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.
And that was Skidmark Bob Duran, who has his own show on Friday night. And he's also a seasoned cop watcher, as you can hear, a man who doesn't lightly give up his basic civil rights, and a man very, very closely connected with the whole process of keeping this radio station running. It's largely due to him and several other people, a small core of people, that this station is sort of stayed on the air in those really difficult times when it had no home. We still are looking for a home. We're still in an area that we can't really be in for any length of time. And then, of course, there's the whole question that Bob mentioned, the FCC's crackdown on radio stations generally, and we're trying to counter that by getting legal assistance, by getting community support through a petition drive, and hopefully by getting some kind of official recognition through the great liberal progressive socialist forces like Mike Rotkin of the Santa Cruz City Council. And of course, that one, I don't want to seem bitter or overly harsh, but I do find it quite telling that individuals who, you know, broadcast their free speech claims up on campus to their students, as Mike Rotkin does when it comes to the real deal, when push comes to shove, they're not there. So It's important to know that as election time comes around, or as recall time comes around. That's a word still being bruited about by people concerned about the Beach Flats giveaway to the Seaside Corporation being led by Shadow Mayor Rutkin and Cynthia Matthews and Michael Hernandez, Scott Kennedy, Mary Beth Campbell. So let's keep our advised that you might want to give Michael Rutkin a call and urge him to do something about Free Radio Santa Cruz. Ask him just where his loyalties lie. His city council phone number is 429-3550, and that's a 24-hour message line, 429-3550. You can call in and ask Councilmember Rutkin to reconsider and tell him that you've been listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. You really like the shows that you hear there. You think that they should have the right to broadcast, since there is no provision for micro stations to broadcast in this country. You have to have a 100-watt station, which means you have to spend somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000 to get a license, including an engineering study, a year's worth of operating money in the bank, $3,000 to $5,000 for an application form itself, and so forth. So it's clearly economically discriminatory, and that was one of the issues that Free Radio Berkeley took to court, and the court was seriously considering. They didn't immediately close down Free Radio Berkeley. It took them 5 years to get to it, and the only reason they did was on a technicality that the formal application form had not been made. The reason that formal application form had not been made, of course, was because the FCC indicated it wasn't going to grant a license anyway, even if there were a formal application form, given its rules. So it's sort of a catch-22, and I guess I haven't heard the latest on the legal update from the lawyers in Berkeley behind Free Radio Berkeley, but we will be passing that on to you when we get it. We are Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We have an operating phone, and we encourage you to give a call in, and we can actually get on the air today on Bathrobes Pier's broadside. So I'm Bathrobes Pier, your host. My name is Robert Norse, and I'm fundamentally concerned with basic homeless rights issues, civil rights for poor people, police harassment of folks on the streets who have no defense other than each other, usually, and the occasional give you an hour attorney who shows up, and some attorneys who would like to give more time but can't. So, Santa Cruz isn't the only place where the crackdown is happening. Berkeley isn't the only place where the crackdown is happening. You've heard me covering the Berkeley Telegraph Avenue crackdown for those of you who've been following the show the last couple of weeks. The hose them off the sidewalks, the moving in mental health resources, animal control people, UC cops and Berkeley cops wandering around telling people they can't sit down, massing in groups of 8 or 9 along Telegraph Avenue, and then on the heels of that, suddenly a new anti-sitting law coming up as well. That's happening. It's also happening in San Francisco. Before we turn to San Francisco, however, to give you an idea of this, what's happening around this anti-sitting ordinance, I'm going to read to you two letters about the anti-sitting ordinance, which is coming up, as I've said, on Tuesday at 7 o'clock for a first reading. All ordinances go through two readings, a first reading and a second reading, after which they become law within 30 days. But it's really important to go to the first reading, according to local activists in Berkeley, because council members rarely change their votes between the first and second readings. Here's a note that was sent out on the internet from attorney David Beauvais, who was also instrumental in defending the City Hall Sleepers protest folks back in 1996 here in Santa Cruz. He was Dan Hopkins' defense lawyer. He was defense lawyer for Sandria Roth and numerous other protesters who essentially spent 8.5 months, or was it 7.5 months? 7.5 months outside of City Hall, peacefully protesting and vigiling so that other people would have the right to sleep at night and cover up with blankets without being arrested or ticketed or harassed under the city's 6.36.010 municipal code, the so-called sleeping ban, part of the camping ban. Anyway, this is the letter from David Beauvais to members of the Berkeley City Council. He writes, "Recently, the city manager initiated the Avenue Watch program to discourage use of Telegraph Avenue by street people who generally are young and poor. Under the guise of cleaning sidewalks, city workers force people engaged in the legal conduct of sitting or lying on the sidewalk to repeatedly move throughout the day so that already clean sidewalks occupied by them can be re-cleaned. If these people do not make way for the workers to clean the same piece of sidewalk for the fourth or fifth time in a matter of a few hours, they are threatened with arrest by city police officers. These officers, who are paid overtime to work in the Avenue Watch program, target the particular class of people described because of who they are rather than what they do, namely the poor and homeless. On the council agenda for Tuesday is the proposed ordinance to prohibit sitting or lying on the sidewalk. The ordinance, if adopted, would purport to legalize the patently illegal effort to remove a class of citizens from our streets through the Avenue Watch harassment campaign. The ordinance contains an exception for business establishments and vendors with permits and for their customers. The message of the proposed ordinance is that our streets and sidewalks may be enjoyed in the fullest only by those seeking to make money and those willing and able to spend it. Others, not engaged in an economic transaction, are simply not welcome to rest on our streets. The proposed ordinance is discriminatory in its face. For that reason, it is susceptible to constitutional challenge, notwithstanding the Ninth Circuit's ruling in Rillette versus City of Seattle, in which the court said generally that a city could ban sitting or lying on sidewalks. Undoubtedly, the ordinance will be applied in a manner entirely consistent with the discriminatory intent that drives those who seek to enact it. The current enforcement effort directed at street people rather than people sitting at merchant furnished chairs in front of the Med, for example, underscores the point that the concern is not about sitting as a presumed nuisance, but rather about who is doing the sitting. Why the ordinance is a bad idea. The group which the ordinance and the current campaign targets already is disaffected. Since the police department makes up the rules on Telegraph Avenue ad hoc, without regard to the existence of any law or ordinance that it presumes to enforce, we do not need a law to prohibit innocuous behavior that the police can use to criminalize the class under attack. This will heighten the tensions on Telegraph, and the payback will be an increase in real crime. The unfairness of the proposed ordinance invites massive civil disobedience, if not frequent full-scale riots such as we saw on Telegraph in the early 90s. Proponents of the ordinance cite instances of real crime as a rationale for their support of the ordinance. Banning sitting and lying will not eradicate or reduce nudity, vandalism, or assault, or keep dogs or people from defecating on the sidewalk. People are less threatening when sitting or lying than when standing. The rationale for this ordinance fails. What the proponents really mean, but do not say explicitly, is that we should drive the targeted class off Telegraph because they committed the crimes. If so, arrest the individuals involved rather than condemn an entire class. Personal responsibility is at the core of our criminal justice system. We do not hold a class responsible for the act of an individual. The rationale which underlies the effort to pass this ordinance is inimical to fundamental values of a free society and should be rejected by this council. In further support of the repressive measure, proponents allude to an incident in which someone used chalk to cover a sidewalk with swastikas. The imagery of the swastika is frightening to any person of normal sensibility. However, the motivations of those who use the Nazi symbol in this instance are ambiguous at best. Therefore, the conclusion that a Nazi skinhead faction is active on our streets cannot be determined from what we know. If true, that would not justify this ordinance in any event. On the other hand, the swastikas used here may have been intended to convey anathema to the kind of thinking that drives the Telegraph Avenue sweeps and the proposed ordinance. Hitler attacked not only Jews, but the infirm, the mentally defective, the disadvantaged, and anyone else who did not fit the mold of the utopian ideal, his utopian ideal. He would have applauded the effort being made by your city manager and those of you who would vote for the ordinance at issue. I think use of the swastika to express opprobrium to this attack on the young and the poor is entirely justified. Official action, reaction, and inaction. The current youth and poor cleansing program on Telegraph has revealed deeper issues about the way that government operates in this town, that is, in Berkeley. The city manager launched this controversial program without any formal council action or public hearing and without prior consultation with the Police Review Commission. When citizens became concerned and demanded that the PRC do something about it, a well-publicized hearing was called. No officials from the city appeared to defend the program. The PRC heard extensively from the public and then voted for the Avenue Watch street cleaning program to be stopped. A second meeting took place a week later, at which the city manager and the chief of police deigned to appear for a brief time and attempt to defend the program. The city manager candidly admitted that he initiated the program and assumed all responsibility for the way it has been carried out. He further admitted that he did not expect the program to work. Chief Butler, the police chief, expressed frustration that existing laws were inadequate to stop people from sitting or lying on the sidewalk if they were not intentionally obstructing passage. Other than that, most of what they had to say was inarticulate nonsense that failed to respond to questions which the commissioners asked. The Police Review Commission saw the wisdom of shutting down the program after the first hearing. No information provided by these officials would have changed a reasonable person's mind that the initial vote was correct in light of the evidence of the program's discriminatory design. Once they finished their presentations to the PRC, the manager and the police chief chose not to remain and listen to comments from the public. They seem to have forgotten who the boss is. I assume that most people in this town would think that high-ranking public servants should stay around to hear from them about an issue as important as this one. Conclusion. On Tuesday, the council must take action to preserve the civil rights of all of our citizens and restore confidence in city government. I ask for a unanimous vote rejecting the proposed sitting-lying ordinance. For those of you afraid to lose face by making an abrupt change of a previously announced position, I say that you cannot possibly lose face by taking a principled stand against a belatedly recognized injustice. Second, the council should redirect the city manager to stop the Avenue Watch program. Third, the council should recognize that the city manager and police chief have abdicated their public responsibility and invite their resignations. Signed, David Beauvais, Attorney at Law, 1840 Woolsey Street, Berkeley, California. This is a letter by Attorney David Beauvais to the Berkeley City Council regarding their sit-lie ordinance and the crackdown on Telegraph Avenue against young and homeless people, the so-called Operation AvWatch or Avenue Watch program, which has been completely discredited, but of course continues to operate, although with reduced personnel. And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3, and you're listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, and we'll be with you till 1:30 today. Stay with us. We've got lots coming up. We're going to be hearing from more about Berkeley, and we're going to be inviting your comments at 423-5361 and your participation, since we're trying to get a group of people to go up to Berkeley to keep tabs on and show support for homeless people, activists, and the community generally that is under assault from police and seems conservative merchants and some conservative city council members who want to remove another basic civil liberty, the right to rest, if you don't have the money to sit in a cafe.
No!
It's I Won't Back Down by Tom Petty. Well, let's hope the city council does back down in this case. Good to back down in circumstances where you should never have been there in the first place, but and there are others where it's really good to stand your own ground. I wrote a letter to the Berkeley City Council last night, actually it was the night before last, on the sitting ban. I'm going to read it to you. Some of it covers the same ground as Attorney David Beauvais, but some of it is different. It went like this. I'm a frequent visitor to Berkeley and sometime resident who writes for Street Spirit, a homeless newspaper sold in Berkeley as an alternative to panhandling for poor people. I live and work in Santa Cruz with a civil rights group, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, that was instrumental in organizing protests against the Santa Cruz sitting ban in 1994. I'm also a member of the California Homeless Civil Rights Action Network, a statewide group devoted to defending the rights of low-income and homeless folks, and have followed the sitting ban controversy in six other California cities in the last 2 years. I've also spent 6 hours in the last month interviewing people on Telegraph Avenue for Free Radio Santa Cruz, in which I broadcast a twice-weekly show, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday and 11 to 1:30 p.m. Sunday on 96.3 FM. I have read your proposed ordinance adding section 13.36.015, outlawing non-obstructive sitting on the sidewalk between 8 a.m. and midnight. I believe it is discriminatory, prone to selective enforcement, impermissibly restricts valid First Amendment activity, and is probably unconstitutional because of the warning provision, which was the reason that a similar ordinance was thrown out in Santa Cruz in 1994. City Attorney John Barisoni can confirm this at 408-429-3554. I predict wide-scale protests if this ordinance is adopted, given Berkeley's clear history of strong opposition to this kind of anti-homeless law. I myself will be volunteering to engage in peaceful civil disobedience. The targeted groups, the young and the poor, may not respond in so genteel a fashion. I am aware that the city attorney has crafted this ordinance as an infraction to circumvent the legal protections that defendants would otherwise have, access to a public defender, the right to a jury trial. I remind you that this did not stop Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Cesar Chavez, and Desmond Tutu from challenging discriminatory laws and policies in India, Alabama, California, and South Africa. It will not stop principled protest in Berkeley. It may provoke violence among those who are directly impacted by it, particularly among the emotionally volatile. I am also a member of NASNA, North American Street Newspaper Association, and have recently been speaking with Anitra Freeman of Seattle's Real Change Homeless Paper. Ms. Freeman and her Real Change writers are well-spoken and seasoned observers of the Seattle law. Your ordinance, as I understand it, is modeled after Seattle's anti-sitting ban. If you are relying on the Rillette case to support the constitutionality of the ordinance, be advised that new challenges are underway in Seattle, according to Ms. Freeman. You might find it helpful to confer with her on the impact of the law on the Seattle community. She can be reached at nasna@speakeasy.org. There is another and better way to deal with the real and imagined problems that the new anti-sitting ordinance and the Operation Avenue Watch crackdown on Telegraph are trying to target. I think you are heading in the right direction by opening more public bathrooms, though the costly imported toilet is questionable. I think better staffing of existing toilets makes more sense. Such a process has worked in San Diego with monitored bathrooms in the downtown area opened after activists began a fast last December. What is needed is to secure community and peer group consensus on standards of behavior downtown. You need to establish a problem-solving mechanism in which people on the streets and poor residents are invested because their input and decision-making is a part of the process. A true mediation process involving organized discussions between youth groups, merchants, homeless activists, street vendors, street performers, etc., encouraging all sides to increase communication and take more responsibility for addressing each other's legitimate concerns can work if it is real, regular, and has real power. This is the process recommended by a $10,000 study conducted here in Santa Cruz in 1995. For more information on the Code of Conduct Mediation Proposal, contact Mayor Celia Scott of Santa Cruz, 429-3550. The issue is not simply the proposed anti-sitting ordinance, which seems to me simply another tool in the hands of the police to enforce a police solution to class and social problems, a failed process. Relying on police to provide solutions to problems that they cannot solve and should not be expected to solve is futile and costly. Nor is it helpful simply to throw money in the direction of some existing social services as some kind of superficial balancing quid pro quo so that repressive laws can be more easily swallowed by those with liberal doubts. What is needed is a new creative, cooperative, inclusive approach that involves previously excluded sectors of the community in the new joint ventures that will not merely clean up the streets, but effectively enlist the community in projects that increase the vitality and communal life of the different neighborhoods. Organizing and funding new approaches of this kind can produce a true renaissance. A vital community gathers energy and inspiration from all classes and sectors. The rights of the increasingly wretched poor are protected, and the opportunities for social mobility increase through expanded contact and opportunities. The safety of residents increases, business prospects and business prospers as Berkeley becomes a beacon and a model to other communities to try inclusive rather than exclusionary policies. In Santa Cruz, the anti-sitting laws produce massive protests, dozens of arrests, successful court challenges, and a legacy of polarization between merchants and the street community. I suspect that in Berkeley, the response of the community would be even more extreme. A similar law produced sharp divisions in Berkeley in 1994. It was repudiated by the university districts in the 1994 vote on Proposition O. It was successfully challenged in court. Your council itself committed itself to a different course by reversing that law in 1997, the sitting law that was on the books before. Will you now try to rush through a new law proposed on the heels of a harsh and divisive crackdown, Operation Avenue Watch, already repudiated by the council member whose district it was supposed to clean up? Will not Berkeley residents feel betrayed and enraged by this sudden attempt to implement through backroom political maneuvering what the law's backers could not achieve through the legal initiative process? Please reconsider your options here, and at the very least, postpone debate on this law until the fall to allow a responsible debate as the elections forums develop. Is not reasoned exchange a better mechanism for resolving these questions than the street protest that will necessarily develop if the community is given no other option? Give that process a chance first. And that's the letter I sent to the Berkeley City Council. I think it was night before last. You may want to send a letter to the Berkeley City Council. And if you do, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I'll give you their internet address, their email address. I actually may have it here. It's actually not very hard. The mayor's address is very simple. Get your pencils out, folks, for writing a letter on the internet. It's Dean, D-E-A-N, at ci.berkeley.ca.us. That's Dean, D-E-A-N, at ci.berkeley.ca.us. And again, my number is 423-HUFF. If you're interested in getting that address or any other phone number that I give out during this showtime period, if you missed it when you heard it, when I put it out the first time. So yeah, that's coming up on Tuesday, and if you want to be a part of a convoy north, you should also give me a call at 423-HUFF, because I need to know if anybody really wants to go up there. I'm going to probably going up there nonetheless, because I think it's really important, but if more people are going up there, then we have to see if there's room, so let us know. We're planning tentatively to leave from the town clock at 4:30, but to confirm that there'll be space, do give a call to 423-4833, 423-HUFF, which is the phone number for HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and also my phone. Well, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. Let's take a brief respite here from the serious stuff by hearing a little from the Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe. This is a sort of a satire that they did a year or two ago on a very similar topic. In fact, the sitting law, when it came to Berkeley last in 1994, before it was overturned by the courts and reversed by the city council, came in a package with a anti-panhandling law, which was also overturned. Let's hear what some of the wags at the Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe had to say about that.
We're back in the city of Berkeley's legal department after a hearing in Oakland Superior Court, where Berkeley's city attorney Manuela Albuquerque's efforts to criminalize sitting and panhandling has been soundly slammed by Judge Claudia Wilken as unconstitutional. Let's listen in.
What happened? And why didn't we win?
Everybody keep calm. Everybody try to calm themselves.
Okay, she's right. Let's all just keep calm. Give the city attorney a chance to explain. Manuela, what's this all about?
Thank you, Mr. City Manager. I can explain everything. It seems that Federal Court Judge Claudia Wilken does not share my view of the California Supreme Court decision known as People v. Fogelson, in which the City of Los Angeles prohibited solicitation on property under the control of the city without a city official's written permission.
Well, that sounds like our ticket, Mrs. City Manager.
I thought so too, Council Member Armstrong. Unfortunately, the court concluded that the ordinance was facially invalid on the grounds that it failed to provide any standards for granting or refusing permission to engage in solicitation, and according to Judge Wilken, never directly addressed the question of whether regulation directed solely at solicitation of money violates the California Liberty of Speech Clause.
All right, Rudy, I never went to law school, so give it to me in plain English, Ms. Albuquerque. Where does that leave us?
Well, we are up Sheep Creek.
Oh, no.
We'll be awash in problematic street behavior.
Out there. What are we going to do now?
Hey, pull yourselves together, people. We've got to figure out what to do now.
She's right. Let's keep calm, try to pull together a plan. What do you think, Manuel? Should we appeal the decision?
Yes and no, Mr. Rucker.
Wait, yes and no.
Well, truthfully, our chances of prevailing against the ACLU are very slim indeed. But if you do not appeal this decision, the Downtown Berkeley Association will have your little butts on a platter.
That's true.
So, our only course is to appeal the decision, even though we have very little chance indeed of succeeding, because in this way, we will please the Downtown Berkeley Association and you will all be re-elected.
But won't that be kind of expensive?
It's true that the City of Berkeley will have to pay the ACLU's attorney's fees, Mr. City Manager. We must keep very quiet about this particular aspect of our plan. At present, the public doesn't know about this, and we must convince them that we will only cost the City of Berkeley at best the humiliation of losing at once a court battle with the ACLU, and Berkeley's reputation as a city with a sense of compassion.
Well, we wanted to get rid of that anyway. Speaking of which, the Downtown Berkeley Association's new marketing consultants have come up with a new slogan for the downtown marketing plan.
Yeah, I heard it. I love it. It's
get a job.
And so the City of Berkeley sent its impoverished argument against the First Amendment rights of the poor on its merry way through the courts, keeping its fingers crossed that it would stumble into a courtroom with a judge corrupt enough to find favor with its tattered argument, and hoping as well that the apathetic population of Berkeley would continue to sleep to this assault on civil rights. Meanwhile, in a fit of pique over losing the case, the Berkeley police began a crackdown against undesirable people on the street using the traditional methods such as selective enforcement and, of course, simple brutality. This is NPR National Pirate Radio.
And that was the Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe talking about the issue. We also have some thoughts from street activist John Vance. The whole issue of this Berkeley sitting law came up quite suddenly, and it came on the heels of, as you probably have been gathering from what I've been reading, Operation Avenue Watch on Telegraph Avenue in Berkeley, which was attempting to eliminate, remove, and generally disperse young people and poor people up there based on the complaints of a few merchants, and without any real vote in city council. It was undertaken simply kind of as a unilateral move by the city manager in consultation with several council members, but without any formal vote. John Vance has staffed a table up on Telegraph Avenue right across from Cody's Books for at least half a decade, probably longer, and has been instrumental in a number of causes for peace and justice, and particularly around the rights of poor people in Berkeley. Here he talks about what what has been happening on Telegraph Avenue. And again, we're referring to events that have happened a week or two ago, but it still gives you some idea of the scene. Events have been happening very quickly in Berkeley. There have been two police review commission meetings, and now suddenly a new anti-sitting ordinance. So let's hear what John Vance has to say, and we'll carry this issue further.
Wednesday, June 24th, John Vance is speaking.
Sitting against the building because the sidewalk is in a main business district and a main thoroughfare, and the easement, we believe, goes up to the building, although merchants want to argue that they may own a couple of feet away from their building, but technically by law, the easement is public easement. I don't think you can, and so I think that's why we have a problem, because a lot of the cops aren't bothering people now that are sitting up against the building, because we've challenged them. And I've asked kids not to move, and a lot of people haven't moved, and basically the cops have ridden away on their bikes and not said anything more.
So instead of giving them tickets, now they're hosing them down? Is that
now the point? They've actually stopped that now. They were doing that on at the Andy Ross bookstore, which is the,
so-called Cody's?
Quote, Cody's, unquote, Cody's bookstore. And Andy Ross's bookstore on Hastings Telegraph was being hosed, but they've stopped that now, I think, a lot. However, the police did come by yesterday morning about 7 o'clock and tell some of the people that were on the corner, because they were just getting up, waking up, because they were sleeping on the corner, because they're afraid, some of them now, to go off of Telegraph to sleep. So they were, up at about 7, the cops came by, a couple of cops told a couple of individuals that, well, we may just come by here before we go to work and we won't be in uniform. We're going to kick your butts out of here, because you better start understanding that we don't want you here. You're not wanted on this corner, on this particular corner at all. So the Andy Ross bookstore corner, which at Hastings Telegraph, is a real hot potato.
Now, do we know the names of the police officers who said this?
No, we don't, but we do know that, in all likelihood it was said, because I've had police say quite, horrible things to me, and it wouldn't surprise me at all.
What about Cop Watch?
They weren't up there yesterday, would surprise me, but yet they're very limited in people power, and I think it's just a matter of volunteers, and I think it's a matter of timing, because people just, don't have, they're not, it's real difficult.
I know that Cop Watch, formed in 1989 in Berkeley, has been instrumental in at least observing some instances of police misconduct. Really, I thought it was the year before. For example, videoing People's Park demonstrations and the brutality by police against demonstrators there. The Police Review Commission meets tonight, I guess, at 5:30 here on Wednesday, June 24th, when we're making this recording. You're going to that board meeting yourself? Or?
I don't know if I'm going to go to this one tonight. I know we're trying to get a lot of people to go. I'm going to try to make that, though. That's absolutely an important meeting, so I will.
You think that they're going to consider the issue? I know that previous board chair Aaron Handel is what... He's on vacation, or
yeah, he's gone.
Who's the new board chair? Do you know?
I think it's David Ritchie.
And is there a chance that there's actually some possibility of exposing this by to people who would be interested in hearing about it, or are you going to?
It'll be talked about. It's going to be talked about. The Telegraph Avenue police crackdown will be an issue tonight.
I also understand that. Associating with you is becoming a dangerous business. I understand your partner is being threatened with firing by Cody's bookstore.
Yeah.
Or Andy Ross's.
Andy Ross's bookstore. Yeah.
And Ross's, we could call it.
I think it should be Ross's bookstore. I think that it's terrible that that bookstore has Cody's name on it anymore.
Didn't you also get the first ticket for jaywalking as you crossed the street going for a muffin?
Yeah, I was on my muffin walk, and it was quite an honor. Officer Gardner gave me a ticket, and I got to call him a pig face, and we basically had some quite, colorful conversation. And
you were given a ticket for something that you do regularly and that he has seen you do regularly?
Yeah, I've been doing it for years. I just go walk across the street, get my muffin, and come back, get my stand set up.
Well, maybe he suddenly decided he was trying to save you from getting too fat.
I think that might have been it. He probably was trying to keep me going into the, because, the muffins aren't as fattening as donuts, but They do. I think they use lard, and it's an animal ingredient, of course, which I use.
So he was really acting on your own behalf.
I think he was looking out for my best interest. I mean, he told me later that, you know, you have to really understand, you know, John, I'm really just trying to look out for your best interest.
Right, you're just being an ideological sorehead, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that
I'm trying.
I will try to minister to your problems if and when I see you, hopefully later today or maybe in the days ahead.
Oh, okay.
Thanks a lot, John Vance.
All right.
An interview with street activist John Vance a few days ago, actually a week and a half ago. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Here's an old song from Kristen Lim, who's a singer we've played a few songs by in the past. She's got a beautiful voice and some important things to say.
Going back.